morning, New Life family. Good to see you. Amen. Summertime is here and people on vacation and going. And we vote for them to do that and take some time off and be with their families. God meets with them when they're, amen, going to the mountain, relaxing, recharging, investing in one another. Amen. And so we're here today and we're just going to have a good time and see what the Lord does. Amen. We're in a good series called The Promise. Had a good feeling last week in the Spirit about the word of the Lord that came forth. Have nothing less than that today. And we're talking about our value of God and others. Amen. It's very important that we take a moment and consider how much God loves you and how important his righteous judgment is in our lives. Now, if you're not careful, you'll think the word judgment is a bad word in this context, but it's not. Amen. God sees you from a lens that you and I, if we don't have his help, we can't see ourselves that way. And so every day he's talking to us, amen, about who we are, his plans for our life. But there's a lot of static going on. Everybody agree? A lot of thoughts that's trying to scream at us other things than what the Lord is speaking into our spirit. And the Lord has something to say about you. If you tune into it and you clear the static out, hope follows it. His presence shows up when we consider what he's speaking into us. Amen. Have you ever talked to someone that you felt like they were ignoring you? I believe in Jesus, but how much time do we give him to talk to us? Well, he knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm going through. If he loved me, he'd take care of me right now. And he's trying to give us the very thing that carries us through. And oftentimes we ignore him. Not that we want to or that we know we're doing it, but sometimes we just don't know what we don't know, right? And instead of paying attention to what he's speaking into our spirit, we're paying attention to these other thoughts that are coming in like waves. And amen, and we're feeling a certain way that we know don't equal his presence, but we feel it anyway. I believe in Jesus, but I'm feeling this way, and I believe, amen, the problem is not God or me, it's someone else. And the enemy, he has place in our life, and he always knows how to defer the blame. He's always deferring it and making God's treasure the problem in our life, or even God as the problem in our life. Can we all say amen? And so we're in this series because something happened 2,000 years ago that's so significant. The greatest event that ever took place happened. There's never been an event like it. Never will there be ever an event like this event, because he paid the ultimate price to be married to his bride. He gave everything, amen, to get her in his life. And you and I are here today because we want to be a part of the bride of Christ. We want to be children, amen, of Jesus Christ. We all agree with that? Amen. And the enemy is working overtime to cause us to doubt our significance and our identity. And so I feel good about encouraging you to consider today that making room for the Holy Ghost in your life and in your spirit, to let God's Spirit come and begin to demonstrate in your life his love for you. He truly cares for you. And the reason I can say that, and the reason some of us here today can say that with clarity, is because we've learned that hosting his presence verifies that. When I posture myself in a way where I am hosting him, I get verification. I get confirmation. Amen. I get other words from my brothers and sisters that validate. Amen. That, wow, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Amen. And with him all things are possible. And if there is a lack of an appreciation for the next person in your life, the Lord wants you to know with him, you can fall in love with him again. Without him, you can't. But with him, you can. Amen? And so the common denominator of me having a good day versus a bad day is the presence of God. If I'm having a bad day, always know this, if you're going to be a part of this house, if you're having a bad day, it's not God's fault. Every day that exists is the day of the Lord. Every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be. It's his presence that's the common denominator that gives us the knowing we can't get any other way. Regardless of the storm that may be raging and the trouble that may be on every side and the resistance that you're feeling, in his presence, there's empowerment. There's focus. There's this I know that I know that I know. Amen. And instead of reclusing and cowing, we press. Because every step I make in Jesus' name, he's always right there to be a solid rock under my feet. In his presence, he has every answer that we need for every dilemma and every mathematical equation or problem in our life. He's the source. And if I don't get that to you right now, you'll miss the meat of what God wants to say today. He loves you. He's not beating nobody up. We make choices that put us in right in front of an 18-wheeler, and we get run over, and we blame God. And God did not encourage us to step in front of the 18-wheeler. Is this okay? We get bit by the serpent. And he tells us not to go around the tree where the serpent hangs out. But I need to know for myself, Lord. I think I'm smart enough to figure this out. And every time I go and try to get knowledge apart from God's presence in my life, I get bit. And the next thing you know, we're hiding from the very thing that makes us who we are. The very presence of God, and he will not stop pursuing us. Where are you, Adam? He will not stop calling out to us. He will not stop knocking on the door, wanting us to allow him willingly to come in and sit down and sup with us. In his presence, he will talk to us about whatever it is that right now, there's some of you that don't know what to do tomorrow. You don't know what's coming up next. You're frustrated already. And the Lord say, let me in and I'll take that out. I'll take that frustration away. I'll take that anxiety away. Amen. You've got some disciples that he chose, a motley crew, kind of like us, right? He believed in them more than they believed in themselves, but he was so attractive that when he said, come follow me, they jumped all in. Amen. And they're in a boat. And Jesus is just giving them a word. This is where we're going. We're going to go to the other side. And they assumed that he meant get in the boat and let's cross. And so they got a boat. And everybody jumped in the boat. Amen. You may have heard me refer to this before. He didn't tell them to go get a boat. They went and got a boat. Because in their logic, in their thought process, we need a boat to get across the other side. Truth of the matter is they didn't need a boat. With God, all things are. They could have walked on the water across to the other side. Is anybody catching this? And some of us are trying to figure out what we're going to do about the lake between us and the other side of where we're trying to cross. And you've got all kind of logical ways that you can get across this thing to the other side. But the enemy don't want you to get to the other side. He wants to stop you from achieving the objective. God's already told you we're going to the other side. And so in the middle of this boat, since they decided that we'll use a boat, and Jesus said, okay, jumped in with them, he goes to sleep. And the storm ain't bothering him. The waves are crashing over the boat and filling the boat up with water, and it ain't waking him up, and he's teaching them something. He's showing them, well, if this is how we're going to do it, we can still do it, and we can rest on the way. Some of us need to learn how to rest. And while he's resting, they're screaming at him, you don't care. We're about to perish. Has anybody ever thought like that before? That God didn't care and your situation was the worst situation on the earth? Amen? And that if God cared, he wouldn't let me be in this situation? No, he cares. That's why you're there. Because his role in our lives is to set us free. And the way we get free is he brings truth. And the truth makes us free. You're much more powerful than you give yourself credit for. And if you ever begin to start agreeing with what God is saying, by hosting his presence, you'll begin to know this. And instead of fearing the water, you'll step out on it with him. Amen? Instead of fearing the wind and the waves and the storm and the lightning and the thundering, amen, you'll start joining in with him. What in the world? You shut up. Be still. Amen? Is this good? His presence is the common denominator. We want to achieve a certain goal here, right? And God's goal is that you be his disciples. And in being his disciples, he wants you to come to the place where you bear much fruit. Just saying that to most professed believers is like, oh, dude, I know that I need God to help me now, because fruit is the objective. What are we ministering about today? We're ministering about simply valuing God and others. And how do we get to the place where I'm more concerned about the needs of others than myself? How do I get there? Because in our culture, culture eats vision. In our society, it's dog eat dog. It's a rat race. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to get taken care of. Has everybody heard them statements before? And maybe you have heard them and you didn't agree with them, but you're in it. You're in the rat race and you're doing it. And you're still trying to be the church. Is anybody tracking with me? So culture, if it's not the kingdom of God culture, amen, is not going to facilitate you being who you're designed to be. And there's always evidence that follows our true identity when we're hosting his presence. Amen. You got two sisters in the same house. That's scary already. Pause for effect. It can be scary with two men in the same house. And Martha is working overtime. She is a plan of action, 360. Everything's got to be in order. She knows what needs to happen in order for everybody to be served correctly. Anybody ever? And serving in God's kingdom is a kingdom of God character trait. It's his nature. But in her lane of thinking and her way of processing, it's not working out right now. And my sister is working against me. And she goes straight to Jesus like we do in our fellowship time. And we tell on our family member, Lord, you don't care. Mary is not helping me. And what does the Lord tell Martha? He didn't call her name once. He called it twice. Martha, Martha. Amen. When he calls your name twice, you better be paying attention. And the enemy's going to try his best with all the strategy to keep you from hearing and call your name. Mary has chosen the weightier matter to be in my presence. Isn't that interesting that Jesus can be in the house and you not be in his presence? It's a choice. It's the common denominator. And the Lord has me introducing to you the most precious gift that heaven has ever given to humanity, and that is his covenant promise. And with his covenant promise comes intimacy. But without his presence, there can be no intimacy. And if your host in his presence, there will be intimacy. And after the intimacy, you will bear much fruit. Is anybody tracking? This marriage took place 2,000 years ago. And the bride of Christ has been given birth to children of God for two millennials. The true bride of Christ is giving birth because she hosts the presence of God. She is aligned herself to do this bad word that our culture has don't like to say it. She has subjected herself. She has submitted herself to him. And in doing so, she has been put on display. In doing so, she has come to realize fulfillment like she's like no one else can. He chose her. He paid the ultimate price to get his bride. And he is covering her because she chooses to be under his cover. And being under his cover, she is productive and she's able, amen, to do what she's designed to do, to be the mother of us all. But the presence of God is the common denominator. For the next few minutes, I want to point out four very important points that support us coming into a place where we have an appreciation for God and others. Amen. To where we have yielded ourselves to a way, amen, that we have decided individually and collectively how powerful we are, but individually, hosting his presence is everything. Checking with his spirit and letting his spirit comfort us and remind us of everything he ever said to us. This is so important for the church today because he tells his boys after they're screaming at him in the boat, "You don't care, Lord." He gets up and he says, "Peace be still." And the calmness comes immediately. I'm going to just tell you something. I've been in some pretty mean storms. And this was a mean one. And all of a sudden, because he said, "Peace be still," and it freaks them out. And rightfully so. What matter of man is this? And I can say with passion right now who you're supposed to be, who he called you to be. And he tells them, "Why are you afraid?" Now, this is the righteous judgment we need to get a hold of, ladies and gentlemen. You want the Lord to talk to you that way. Because we need him to get our attention. Where did this fear come from? Where did this frustration come from? Where did this anxiety, this jealousy, this anger, where did all this works of flesh come from? And then he says it. Where's your faith? And it's not about thinking hard. I believe, I'm a believer. No. It's simply, I told you we were crossing to the other side. How did you lose that word? Oh, this is so important for you and I. If we're going to impact our relationships, in our house, in our neighborhood, in our community, in this house, we've got to default back to the last thing God spoke and stand. When you don't know what else to do, stand, because you have an appreciation for God and others. He's on a mission, ladies and gentlemen. He's invited us to go with him on the mission. And in the process, he's going to make you. And in making you, that means you're going to go through much tribulation to enter. That's not a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. He's taking all the rough edges off so that you can step into your true God-given identity and manifest. And when I stand in his presence and I stand before you and serve him in the way I'm designed to serve him, he's saying through me to you, you're the man. You're the man. Come on. When you are saying, I'm not the man, and let me be clear, that means Christ. They marveled. What manner of man is this? And that identity is given to you and I to walk in. Go read Galatians chapter 4, wonderful letter. Your identity is the man. You are Christ. And hell is subject to you. Every spirit of anger, jealousy, amen, unforgiveness, the list rolls out, amen. Every demon is subject to you. So we don't spend time giving the enemy place. He's already defeated. We don't spend time bellyaching over what's wrong in our world because, amen, victory already happened 2,000 years ago, and God has a plan to pour his glory into this earth. And he chose to do it through you and I. Amen. It's time for you to begin to consider that maybe you're a lot more powerful than you give yourself credit for, and the things that seemingly are holding you at bay is nothing more than lies from the enemy, thoughts that you keep entertaining that cause the kind of static that God can't get his voice through. Ladies and gentlemen, I know how to think thoughts that are stupid, but they look logical. The thoughts do nothing but hold me captive and put me in prison, and I don't feel powerful at all when I think about them. Many of us, we spend too much of our time thinking about the past and where we messed up and taking credit for failure. When God won't even let you take credit for being good, why in the world are you taking credit for being bad? The ones that get credit for good and bad is Jesus and the devil. We're children that either Jesus or the devil is going to use to fulfill their will. As much as I don't like talking about and being transparent, I've got enough past in my life that is accredited to the enemy, and his goal is to convince me it belongs to me every day so that I cannot be effective in being God's man. And I have to take time out. No, I get to take time out every day. And when I say I have to do it, I really do have to do it, because if I don't, I'm gonna face more trouble in my life. So it's almost like, you know, I get to, but you know what? I have to, because I really don't need any extra pressure. I don't need any extra problems. I don't need any extra downtime. So I really have to get up and do something about it. So casting down every thought that exalts itself above God and bringing every thought into captivity. Man, I don't know if we're going to make it to the house. I don't know if we're going to stay married. I don't know if we're going to, amen, survive this financial challenge. I don't know if my job's going to last. And all those thoughts coming in like a wave. And God ain't said none of them. God says, I've given you the kingdom. Everything of that you can possibly have has already been afforded to you, and you're not taking advantage of it because you keep listening to these thoughts. And you keep justifying the fact that this is where you belong because that's who you are, and you deserve to be in prison, captivated, locked down, closed up, insignificant, because those thoughts come in like waves. And some of us are finally getting it, that all these thoughts we think that make us feel bad, make us feel unloved, and make us feel emotional are nothing more than the enemy's voice. That's all it is all them voices are speaking. Amen. But God's talking too. And he loves you. And he brings righteous judgment to your house every day to remind you of who you are and who you're not. And he asks the right questions every day to say to you, you don't have to be in this place. How did you get there? And so ask yourself the question, how did we ever get postured to where we're screaming at Jesus? You don't care, Lord. If you cared, you would do this and you would do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, you wouldn't. You don't want to tell nobody you did it, but you did it. You might have been driving down the road, or you might have been by yourself in the backyard, but you did it. And you're screaming at him because you think he's sleeping on you. And really what he's trying to do is teach you how to rest. He's trying to teach you that the enemy and what the enemy is doing is no sweat. It's water off a duck's back. We still gonna fly. We're coming out of whatever mud hole we're in, and we're going to new places in heaven. And there's four points that are so important that I've been trying to get to, but the Spirit keeps telling me, hang here, because they need hope. They need to know I love them. They don't need to know that the process is more important than my presence. And you can't get to where you're going without the process, but to go through the process, you need the presence of God. You need the love of God demonstrated in your life. You need to know he cares about you if you're going to step into the process. The only way I know how to do this now, you have to get the scriptures on the way out. The first very valid point in the process of arriving to the finish line of where God's taking us in our true identity is we must get connected. We must get connected. And somebody's saying, are you talking about when you get connected to one another? Well, when we get connected to God through his presence, we can't help but get connected to one another. But I can't connect to you without God. I'll mess up the relationship. It's just the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. Adam cannot tend to the garden and all the trees in the garden. Come on. Represents God's treasure, people. He can't tend to them without walking with the voice of God. So getting connected with him, it's so valid because with him, you can do anything. Remember last Sunday? We addressed some things that are hindering you from being who you're designed to be. Amen. And last Sunday, we found out that heaven came to earth and stood nose to nose with us. Because John introduced heaven. And he said to the group that were listening to him, amen, that the kingdom of heaven is near. And the subject matter of which he's speaking, he points to in the same passage that says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. I don't know about y'all, but that's good news. That everything the enemy's blaming you for, he already paid it off. He already shed his blood for it. And he didn't give us grace as a license to go do what we want to do. He gave us grace to show us who we are. And in showing us who we are, the grace of God that came to us is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is now, by grace, the King of his kingdom within us, so that through us, he can finish what he started. And his glory can fill the earth. Is this helping somebody? Marriage is going to be okay. The finances are going to make it. Matter of fact, testimonies are going to come in waves because we catch, amen, this truth, this reality that in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. With him, I can do all things. Without him, I can do nothing. I'll mess everything up around me. Amen. It'll be red in the bank account if I don't have Jesus. The marriage will be on the rocks and it ain't the right rock neither, if I don't have Jesus. Hello. So the first and most important aspect of the process that God has placed into our lives by his word to us is to get connected. Every one of us here today have a value for God's presence, or you wouldn't show up at New Life Fellowship. At New Life Fellowship, there's a dynamic here that God gives us. His presence is here. Where two or three gather together in my name. Come on, it's in the presence of God. Come on, let's get the name right here. Amen. When they gather together with me being the objective, with me being the source, I come. He says, because the only way you come together is my spirit drew you here. We're not smart enough to come together for Jesus. He has to help us come together. And we get here, and his presence is here. Amen. And that dynamic sets us up for a miracle. It helps us calm down. The pressures of this world right now are not as powerful as they were before you got into the building with the rest of the group. Have y'all noticed that? And all of a sudden, the worries, amen, that they're trying to come into your mind right now about tomorrow, kind of like held at bay because of the presence of God that's in the place. Isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, there's a level of hope you didn't have prior to the presence of God coming to his bride. Come on, and when we're together, he comes to his bride, and he comes to his bride for intimacy. He wants to speak into her life. That's capital L-I-F-E. He wants to speak into her identity. He wants to let her know how her value. Without her, there ain't going to be no kids. The only way, amen, that creation is going to glorify him, he needs his bride. Because his glory is his children. Because his children carry his name. We come together, we feel the there's a different dynamic with God than when we leave here as sons and daughters. Amen. We feel good about being sons and daughters because, man, it's time to go take it now. Amen. And authority. I've got the name. It's time to tread on serpents, right? But the bride don't have to worry about that. When the bride comes together and they gather together, her only objective, amen, is to be one with him. And to let the seed of his word get into the womb of her heart. And there children are born. You see, the end of this thing is that much fruit happens. Amen. But once we get connected with God, and we begin to host his presence, you know what follows that? We can't help it. When you're hosting his presence, you cannot help it. Point number two is that you embrace the Great Commission. You can't help it. Because his bride is all in on what his mission is. She ain't into nothing else, his bride. His bride is sold out, amen, to the identity she has and the mission that he's on. And she knows for him, her husband, to be able to achieve his mission, the children are going to bear the name. And it's through the children, amen, that his glory is going to come to him. It's the son, amen, that brings glory to his father because they walk in his name. But she is submitted to him. She is his helpmate. She is passionate because she's designed, amen. Her DNA is designed to give this birth, amen, and to mother and to give the sincere milk of God's word, amen, and tend to the children as they're developing, amen. They'd be equipped for battle to take back what belongs to our Father. Great commission. You can't help it. Let me just tell you this. When you host God's presence, you can't think about nothing else. You are not thinking about me, myself, and I. Let me just say it this way. When you host his presence, there ain't no self-will involved. Self-will equals iniquity. The reason Jesus has to reject those that say, Lord, Lord, they cast out devils, they do many wonderful works in his name, and they're standing before him every day. Come on, everybody's got this judgment thing off out in the future. Y'all know when judgment began? Apostle Peter said it. Judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, come on, 2 Peter, you're going to read yourself. If it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteous are scarcely saved, what is going to be the end of those that are sinners? You see, he's not talking about something future here. He's talking about that when we come into his presence, it's not a bad thing, it's a wonderful thing. He begins to judge all wickedness out. Y'all got to catch this. You want to host God's presence because the problems in your life that you don't like being there, he's going to put them on the hightail. They're going out. Because you let the king come in. And when the king comes in, he got the signet ring. He's got the authority. Amen. He's your daddy. And everything that don't belong in the house has got to go out. Judgment began 2,000 years ago when he came back in spirit and in truth. That's why it's not an added blessing, ladies and gentlemen, to be baptized in spirit and fire. It is the blessing. You want him in his house. And when you are hosting God's presence, the Great Commission, our Father's mission as sons, and as the bride, our husband's mission, is all we think about. We can't think about nothing else. So much so that now we're more concerned about the needs of others than ourselves. This is the mind of Christ. But you can only have that if you host him. So his presence is the key to connect us with him. Can't get connected with him without his presence. His presence is the key factor in you and having a passion for the Great Commission and no more fear of it. All of a sudden, you can't tell enough people. And I don't mean being spooky and weird, neither. I mean, just like Jesus, you're attractive. Everywhere you go, people like to be hanging around you because you're always encouraging them. You're always building them up. You're always edifying them. You're always speaking life into them. You're always asking the right questions that cause them to think about, you know, I never thought of that before. And it wasn't you talking. It was the presence of God that you was hosting that brought the question about to put them in a position to where, you know what? I need more of God. But not only does it eat you up that you want to be on mission with what he's on mission about, and you'd be sure of this, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus and you and I have his name. We're about our Father's business. And the Great Commission is his business. When you host his presence, you will go, you will baptize, and you will teach. And when you're going, remember this. Number three, you get sticky. Somebody's like, ooh, I don't like that word sticky. It's not like, ugh, muggy, I'm sweaty, no. You get magnetic. You get attractive. Amen. People love being around you because you host his presence. And they can't get enough of you. And you, and it's not you that they can't get enough of. It's him that you're hosting that they can't get enough of. Because he's the one good. Anybody ever host the devil before? Anger, frustration, jealousy, criticism, gossip. I mean, the list goes on. And people don't want, they want to get away from you. It's like, dude, man, I don't like hanging out with them. Man, they're so negative. They talk about everything. And woe is me. Host God's presence and you can't get enough relationship. Man, it's just like they're coming in like waves. And fourthly, amen, the presence of God is the common denominator for us to bear much fruit. And I read this to you, amen, for the sake that there was a scripture read today. John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me, anybody catching this presence of God, is thrown away like useless branches and withers. Such branches are gathered and piled to be burned. But if you remain in me and my word remain in you, you can ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. Is anybody catching that yet? Glory. One who joins with Jesus in the Great Commission, going into the world, baptizing, teaching, they are in the truest definition living out their true job description and identity in Christ. And you will bear much for it's not, Pastor, you know, I just want to be saved. I don't know about this, you know, going out and I don't know about this, you know, fruit thing. Just want to be saved. And that's okay with the enemy if that's all you want, because he can put you in prison that way. What did he save you from is the question. Everybody ask yourself the question. Why is it that I want to be saved? What is he saving me from? You really want me to talk about that? And all of a sudden, yeah, I think I do want to bear much fruit. Because he's saving you from not bearing much fruit. He's saving you from a false identity and a lie. He's saving you from a marriage that's broken. He's saving you from finances that are going south. He's saving you from you being in control. He's saving you from self-will. Iniquity that he can't help but reject, because self-will rejects him. And when you reject him, you're gonna get the harvest back of rejection. Depart from me, ye that work self-will. Amen. But God has set this room up in this house with a dynamic, and the Spirit of God is saying, peace be still. And the activation for you today from heaven, if you'll take advantage of it because of God's presence, he's saying it to several of you right now. How did that get into your life? Whatever that is that's bothering you and bugging you and beating you up. How did he get there? And then he's asking you, where's your faith at? I gave you the answer, but you haven't trusted me yet. And the reason you're not trusting him, because you're not hosting him. Let me encourage you. Everybody in this room decided, I don't give a flip what anybody says at this point. I'm going to host Jesus. And I'm going to get to a place where I am his platform by which he does his thing from. And you resolve in your spirit that enough's enough. Yeah, you might get weird in your own closet. You might get weird here at this house and shout hallelujah and run around the building. I don't know. Whatever it takes for you to say enough's enough, I'm going to die to myself so that he can live. Ah, now you're getting connected. And if you ever get connected, oh, you'll go because you love it. You'll baptize because, man, I want more brothers and sisters. And you'll teach. You'll get sticky. And you'll bear much fruit because you belong to your daddy. And the identity of your daddy is in you. It's going to show up and show out. Oh, well, I could if I was you, Pastor. I mean, if I was able to do what you do. That's a lie from hell. That's another lie. That's another thought process that's static. Everybody in this room, God put together, and he knew what he was doing when he put you together, and you're powerful. And if you host his presence, everything else happens. If you host his presence, it starts happening. Could we stand?